Previously on the Square Peg Show.
I'm pregnant, you're the father, and I'm going to kill all three of us.
The clock is ticking, Mr. President. We have to preheat that oven.
That bomb could go off at any minute, and this is the only device that can stop it.
This?
Yes!
And now, the shocking conclusion.
Wasted on fixing all the problems that you made in your own head. But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear? Didn't I, my
dear? Welcome to the Square Peg Show, Season 2, Episode 2, on February 27th, 2011. I'm Mike.
I'm Jesse.
I'm David.
And I'm Matt.
This episode we will discuss March releases and recent movie news with an emphasis on superhero movies. Surprise, surprise. We also react to some recent theatrical movies and together review the time travel movie Primer. We've started doing the Square Peg Show monthly instead of once every 3 weeks, if you can remember back when it was on that schedule. So listeners can expect a new episode around the last weekend of the month, and we'll try to throw in some extra content in between on the website. But tonight is Oscar night, and we're busy podcasting. I hope the stuff that I like wins, the stuff I didn't like didn't, all that. So
that's not biased.
But I figure we'll check in and off on that. But you guys want to talk?
Just to clarify real quick, I know we have Oscar month. Are we going to have Razzie month? Because I think we should totally have Razzie month.
Well, I think we should go ahead and start talking about the Razzies.
You guys,
yeah?
Let's start.
Okay. Starting with the worst picture was, or the best, or the winner, if you want to call it that, was The Last Airbender.
Oh, wow.
Oh, sad.
Horrible.
That Sam Alama Ding Dong.
I like the trailer. I didn't watch the movie.
It's
kind of like Superman Returns.
Yes, yes, very much so. 3 minutes of badass, and then you watch the movie, and you're like, oh.
It also took for supporting actor, screenplay, director, worst eye-gouging misuse of 3D.
So it was like Avatar sweeps and the Razzies?
That's what it seems like.
That's badass.
Hmm.
Other winners were the entire cast of Sex and the City 2. Jessica Alba,
big fan of.
Yeah. Jessica Alba had 4 movies last year, and she got Worst Supporting Actress. Jackson Rathbone, who I don't know who that is, and Ashton Kutcher for Worst Actor. So
Rathbone.
Rathbone got it. Yep.
Rathbone.
Can we put that on the list of best names, like, yes. Bruce Boxleitner?
I was just thinking about that, dude. Bruce Boxleitner. What was that one? Rathbone.
Jackson Rathbone, Worst Actor, Best Name.
Wow. Dude, we're making a whole post dedicated to that guy. That's going to be awesome.
The J-Man. The Rathbone.
The Rathbone.
Wow. Wow.
Let's move on to box office real quick. For 1 through 5 for the past weekend, number 1 was Romeo and Juliet. Number 2, Hall Pass, followed by Unknown, Just Go With It, and I Am Number 4.
Yeah, you actually mentioned something about Romeo and Juliet. Did you actually get a chance to catch that one?
It was a really pleasurable experience getting my refund.
So. Wow.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
I had never actually gotten a refund before, and considering how much I was hating on it and the entire soundtrack provided by Elton John.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ew. So I made it 15 minutes and bailed out.
Wow. That's wow.
That's horrible.
Did Elton John redo that song just like Romeo and Juliet for this?
I couldn't say. I don't know.
Probably. Sure, it's on the soundtrack somewhere. Wow, Romeo and Juliet, big ass bomb.
Okay, yeah. So I have to ask the listeners now. Listeners, if you have ever walked out of a movie and gotten a refund, please post. I would love to see this list.
Actually, I got a great refund story.
Go ahead.
So my wife and I decided we're going to go up and see the latest Harry Potter movie, which one was it?
The Deathly Hallows?
Yes.
Part 1?
Yeah. No, the one right before that. I'm sorry.
Oh, The Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah, we went to see The Half-Blood Prince. We're sitting in there opening night. It's like crowded as all hell. There's kids running around in capes. I'm sitting there with my wife next to me in the theater before the lights even go off, and we're both looking at each other because we're there with friends, and we're looking at each other going, I don't even really want to see this, do you? And she's like, no, absolutely not. So I actually said, and I swear to God I said this, wouldn't it be great if the movie just broke down, guys? I shit you not. We got three trailers in and the fucking movie broke. And they were standing there giving people refunds, and I can't tell you how many pissed off old people I saw. They were just blowing their tops over this, dude. It was absolutely insane and hilarious at the same time.
Well, that's because Harry Potter is basically old people porn, so they lost out.
Wow.
I mean, Twilight's young people porn, and Harry Potter's the equivalent.
What? What in Harry Potter are old people getting off to? If you say kids, so help me God.
Well, moving on.
Oh my God.
All right.
Right, so here on the square peg show.
Yes. Moving on to the second half of the top 10 list. Number 6, Justin Bieber, Never Say Never.
Oh, woo!
Followed by The King's Speech, and then Big Mamas Like Father Like Son, Drive Angry, which debuted at number 9, and The Roommate.
Number 9?
Wow, it's moved up.
No, it debuted, man. Like, so I'm kind of proud of America right now. But Drive Angry, number 9. All
Thank
right.
you, America.
That's crazy.
Send that one down the shitter. That's so awesome.
We actually thought about reviewing that for the podcast, and
I was ready. I can't even tell you guys. I was ready. I was amped up, and I was ready to go to the theater to see this piece of shit just steam all night.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! You wouldn't pay to go see Tron, but you'd pay to see that?
Probably, yeah.
So, okay. I mentioned my affinity for Romeo and Juliet. Have you guys seen anything else recently?
I haven't seen anything new, but I've kind of been going back and watching some older stuff.
Okay.
Like Beer Fest. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Beer Fest. I'm sure you have, Matt.
Yes. It's an awesome movie.
I walked out of that movie.
Really?
I did.
Man.
Got about 10 minutes in, and I couldn't take another dildo on the screen because I was on a first date, and I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I cannot
do it. That's definitely not a date movie. That's like a hanging around with your buds in their living room kind of movie. But I don't know. I mean, I was a big fan of Super Troopers, and this is done by the same people, of course. And I gotta say, it was just kind of weak, honestly. But I have been told, however, to go back and watch it a second time, and somehow magically it gets better. And I mean, it comes from a good source, so I'll go back and watch it again. But my biggest problem with it is that, I mean, I didn't mind the dildos. I mean, you know, I live in a world of dildos sometimes. But wow. Throughout the whole movie, they're chugging all this beer, and from what it looks like they're real liquid in here that they're chugging or whatever. You know, they're not really drinking all of it, of course, but it's real liquid they're interacting with on screen. However, like the final, like epic showdown where all these people are drinking beer out of this giant glass boot, they CGI'd beer into this boot, and it was the worst liquid CGI I've ever seen in my life.
That was pretty horrible liquid CGI, and the only one they did was for the big guy, the fat guy. He's the only one that actually chugged.
I don't know. I think I'm pretty sure I remember all of them being CGI. It was horrible. It was. I'll have to go back and look at it again, just to look at it. But it was bad, and it just kind of killed the whole ending for me, honestly.
You know, what else was kind of bad that had a kill me kind of ending that I saw recently was No Strings Attached.
Oh, really? You saw that one?
Yeah, I saw that.
What'd you think?
I was looking for tips because, I mean, everyone wants that kind of relationship, use me for sex kind of relationship. So I was like, here's a movie that'll tell me things. Natalie Portman, you have all the tips. So I watched this movie.
Yes, she does.
And I was watching it. I was watching it. And this person came on. It was an older doctor, and she's hitting on the older doctor. And I said, that guy looks familiar. And I'm watching it. And it takes me – I watched it, a week ago? Until this very moment while I'm on this podcast recording it with you, just Googling around, trying to keep my eyes out for anything interesting. Uh-huh. That guy was Cary Elwes. That was the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Awesome.
That movie Cary just got so much better for me.
What? I mean, that's – when did that one come out? Like a couple weeks ago?
January.
It came out in January.
January. Run it down for me because I don't even know anything about it.
No Strings Attached is a story of a young man who meets a young woman, and they both agree to have a non-relationship, basically sex buddies.
Right.
And he predicts that they'll eventually hook up, and she'll fall in love with him. And, I mean, in a very romantic, classic fashion, that's more or less what happens after they both agree to see other people and find their feelings for each other. And that's the point where it started going downhill for me because it was getting a little too predictable.
Right.
But –
Wait, you mean their relationship where they have sex and there's no harm whatsoever that goes horribly afoul?
It goes horribly. It goes horribly into relationship zone, which is what sadly always happens. And
yes.
I'm against it.
I'm completely confused because when you say no strings attached, I immediately think of marionette dolls that suddenly come to life and it's Pinocchio. So
wow,
this is not the movie I envisioned at all.
Puppet Master.
That was last week's Supernatural, man. Should have seen that. Okay, well, any other recent releases that you want to run down or react to, or should we move on to the March preview?
I haven't really seen much that would really pull me into the theater, but then again, it's been a while since I've seen something like that. So,
okay.
Some friends of ours Thursday went and saw I Am Number 4 and said it was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Right on.
I saw the trailer and I thought it could go either way. You know, it could be a good original type of thing or really, really bad. And it seems like the critics and audiences have decided it's not so good.
Quick Oscar update. Trent Reznor is now an Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
He apparently...
Did they finally give it to him for Seven?
No. No, he got Best Original Score with Atticus Ross for The Social Network.
Huh. Oh, not... God. Now I'm going to have to want to see that movie.
Damn it.
There was nothing remarkable about the soundtrack.
Yeah. Well, I got another quick update I'd like to throw out.
Sure.
I'm sure it was last episode we were talking to Matt, and he was talking about Rango. And you were talking about, you know, the chameleon getting, like, stuck on the windshield and, like, you know, Hunter S. Thompson, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, that guy got me curious, so I started looking. I watched the trailer finally, and that looks hilarious. I can't wait to see that movie.
I want to see it, too.
But I saw, like, a quick shot. Of, you know, it's still kind of up in the air as to whether it's Hunter S. Thompson, but it looks a lot like him. But I did find out that Johnny Depp will be reprising his role in a new Hunter S. Thompson movie.
Oh. What?
Yeah, and I'll have to...
Terry Gilliam,
yeah. But yeah, I'm actually excited to see that. I loved Fear and Loathing. It was fucking wacky and weird, but... And I mean, now we got a different director. I'm sure we have a different writer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not killing Hunter S. Thompson who did the original book, but... yeah, I mean, that's... I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think?
I'd be interested in another, you know, Hunter S. Thompson adaptation, whatever. I haven't read much of his work, but I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
As far as Rango goes, there was another trailer, a different trailer for it before, Romeo and Juliet.
Mm.
And the trailer was a lot of fun. It was all about Rango's kind of clueless. He's stuck in the middle of this big desert, and a hawk is trying to get him, and this toad is trying to tell him to stay still and hide. And
yeah.
And hijinks ensue. It was good stuff. But.
And that brings us into the March review, after all. So,
yes.
What else? What other movies are out coming in March, Mike?
Let's move forward.
Let's
segue.
Well, The Adjustment Bureau, which we mentioned way back in season one as a summer movie last year, it got pushed back for some reason, which never really bodes well. But that is that movie by based on the Philip Dick book. Matt Damon and Emily Blunt are running from some, you know, kind of sci-fi guys and fedoras and stuff. That'll be out March 4th.
Mm.
What else? Rango. Red Riding Hood, which has Amelie Seyfried in it, who has, like, you know, just these gigantic eyes, and I just think she would make a great Red Riding Hood.
That's not what I thought you were about to say.
Well, that's your fault.
She's got huge tracts of land. And also, that movie has Gary Oldman in it.
I'm watching it.
Yes.
Don't get wrong with the old man.
That's right.
I wonder if he'll be the big bad wolf.
He'll be the big bad creepy uncle.
Actually, it seemed like a Red Riding Hood meets werewolf kind of thing going on.
It's Twilight. That's what it is.
Did you guys catch? I mean, it was like a man cursed, and that's kind of what I pulled out of that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's basically everyone that wanted Jacob to win in the Twilight movies said, hey, let's make our own movie.
He didn't win? Wow, thanks for ruining that. Man, I was really excited to see that, too.
It was an all werewolf three-way.
This is the next big Hollywood trend, not the three ways, but this whole idea of reimagining fairy tales and old fables and fantasy, you know, because Hollywood has no original ideas hardly anymore, so they're going to keep on. I mean, I think there's like three Snow Whites coming up. This is just ridiculous. So.
What?
Yeah.
Three Snow Whites?
Or if not Snow White, some other thing like that.
I believe there's two Snow Whites, and there's also a Snow Queen coming out.
Mm.
And there's several other literary pieces that are getting reimagined into movies. And, I mean, this is something that pops up, like, what, every 15 years, it seems.
Yeah.
I mean, there was in the 90s that Cinderella movie. Can't remember the name of it. Never After, something like that.
March 18th, there will be a movie called Limitless, which stars Bradley Cooper and Robert De Niro. And the idea is that Cooper's character starts becoming omniscient, I guess, right. Or he has knowledge of everything.
Yeah, he takes a pill that gives him like 100% usage of his brain or something.
Maximum potential.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer. It could go either way, just kind of like whatever else I was mentioning. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know yet if it's going to be any good.
Well, actually, I'm excited for that movie.
Yeah?
Really? Yeah. I think that's going to be a probably the dramatic, not so much serious, but enthralling movie, much like the Inception of March, I would say.
Oh, really? You think it's going to be that good?
Yep.
Good.
Yes, good. Wow. That is a fact, man. Look it up in your dictionary.
Oh, I'll look that up. Sorry.
Yeah.
So. Right. Well, speaking of something that you had just mentioned coming out, that came out already. Sure. Were you guys looking for Unknown at all? Because, I mean, that's Liam Neeson, guys.
You know, I have Taken on my DVR. I'm looking forward to watching Taken. I think that's supposed to be like this whole new thing where Liam Neeson is a badass. So.
Wait. Stop right there.
Is that to imply that Liam Neeson has not always been a badass?
Thank you, David.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess when I phrase it that way.
Liam Neeson is the badass.
Qui-Gon is the man, and I just want to throw that out there for the world to know.
Whatever.
Done and what?
Oh. he's tainted, man.
Oh yeah.
Qui-Gon is the shit.
The Phantom Menace taint.
He's not tainted. He's taken.
Well,
not that kind of taint.
Do you guys know the premise for Unknown? I mean, I didn't even get a chance to take. I just saw Liam Neeson, and I was like, I'll buy a ticket.
I'm going to guess that he's an ex-CIA agent who has to kill a lot of people, and I'm sold. I'm sold.
There's
also a movie coming out in March called Kill the Irishman, and he could very well be in that. Christopher Walken is. I know that much.
Whoa.
And Ray Stevenson and Vincent D'Onofrio. That could be good.
Maybe they'll all dance, and it'll be great.
Christopher Walken, yeah.
All right. What else you got coming out?
Well, what about Paul, which I think is noteworthy because it's written by Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. I try to follow pretty much everything Simon Pegg does.
He's
a pretty smart guy.
I don't know anything about Paul.
Well,
I saw a trailer for it, and it looks interesting.
Yeah, can you run it? Well, if you saw the trailer, you probably know more than I do. I just know it's two comic book nerds that, what, discover, like, an alien at a convention or something? Or
you sure this isn't, like, a Fox sitcom animated by the same people that did Family Guy? Because that's what it sounds like.
Well, yeah, but.
And I watched that, too.
That's pretty much essentially what it is.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
I know Simon Pegg. What's the other dude's name?
Nick Frost. He's just the other guy that writes the movies.
The other guy that's in all of his movies with him.
Is he the co-star too, Matt? Like,
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I tell you what. I mean, I've watched. I watched John of the Dead. Of course, that was pretty awesome. And then I watched Hot Fuzz. And the first time through, I was like, this is kind of terrible. But I really went back and watched it again, and I was like, this is really, really clever if you sit down and actually pay attention to what's going on.
Hot Fuzz is amazing.
Yeah, it's not a popcorn kind of flick. You kind of got to pay attention. For it to be a comedy, you got to pay attention to what's going on, because there's this murder mystery that suddenly starts happening. And if you give a shit about the story whatsoever, which they just draw you right into it, you gotta go back to the beginning and watch everything from there. But, I mean, those guys are just clever, clever writers, so I'm all about those dudes.
Seth Rogen does the voice of the alien in Paul.
Okay. If any fan of Simon Pegg from those movies needs to check out the BBC series Spaced, it was like six episodes, a sitcom, and Simon Pegg stars in it and wrote it.
Awesome.
It's really, really funny.
Spaced. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. It's actually pretty good. My friend Sean got me interested in it. You know, on the movie Shaun of the Dead, when there's like that scene where he runs into his ex-girlfriend and they're pretty much is doing the exact, the same thing.
Right.
They're trying to get away. Well, the girl who's his ex-girlfriend is, I think, the female counterpart in Spaced.
Oh, right on. Well, I will check it out.
On March 25th, Sucker Punch. This is the new film by Zack Snyder, and it's supposed to be just like a lot of hot chicks kicking ass and stuff. Have you guys seen any trailers for Sucker Punch yet?
No, but
my God, yes, I have.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. Big thumbs up from you, huh?
All I'm saying is we need to stop the podcast now and go watch it.
We'll take it with us. We'll commentate the movie as it's going on.
It looks very much so like a someone watched
300.
300 Sin City. I mean, it has that style to it. But it's a woman in a. I believe I'm getting this right. It's a woman in an insane asylum, in the 1940s, 1950s. And one of the things that she does to escape the asylum is not just physically to try and get out, but also mentally to escape the shackles of knowing that she's in there.
I love that.
She lets her imagination go wild. So she starts perceiving herself to be like fighting Nazis and all this other stuff. When it's just like, it gets really overblown and aggrandized and epic and sounds good.
I did not watch Watchmen yet because I hated 300.
Wow.
Wait. Wait.
Bite your tongue, Mike.
No. You know what? You're making this up. You've got to be making this up.
No, I'm the only person actually that I've talked to, because I talk to myself all the time, that doesn't like 300. I thought that was terrible.
We're not even real. We're just part of your imagination. So
we're not even making this podcast.
I'm in the insane asylum right now.
So let me get this straight. You, Mike.
Yes.
Do not like 300 or Constantine.
Correct.
And haven't seen Aliens.
Well, I feel guilty about the last one, but I don't feel guilty about the first two, man, because they sucked.
Or Superman.
Well, that's the ship has sailed, man. I don't want to watch some 70s movie now.
You know what? I'm hanging up. This is over.
This is officially the last episode of the podcast ever.
Why have you never told me that we've talked several times about comic book movies? Why has 300 never come up? That was a phenomenal movie, and you know it.
I don't know it, man. I just really, really didn't like it. And part of it is Zack Snyder's style. I don't like how he'll do a long action sequence where he'll slow the camera down, and it's slow-mo, and then it speeds back up, and then it's supposed to be badass. And I just get bored with that. And it made me think less of the comic book. Actually, I started reading the comic book again. I was like, I don't really think this is that good.
I'm actually highly invested in that style because they're making a movie for Charlotte Bronte's 1847 novel, Jane Eyre. And I hear it's going, all the action sequences in that where she's beating up Victorian women are going to be shot in that same style.
Are you joking or?
I am absolutely joking.
I hope so.
Don't crush my dreams now.
You just got me really excited about Jane Eyre.
Mike, okay. We're going to have a very long conversation after this episode. That's going to happen.
I think you need to have a intervention or come to Jesus meeting or something.
I need to have an intervention with you guys.
Yeah. You know what? You just bring it.
A reverse intervention. I'd like to mention by name just really quickly three movies that I think are coming out in March that people need to pay attention to but aren't going to get much notice for.
Okay.
And I think people are going to overlook these movies. One of them is Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules.
Yeah.
I saw the first Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and it's a great family film. A lot of people probably aren't going to be into it.
I agree.
The second movie is Battle Los Angeles, which is a sci-fi movie with Aaron Eckhart and Michelle Rodriguez and a bunch of other good actors. Mm-hmm. In much in the same style as
if you say Escape from LA, so help me God. If it's Kurt Russell surfing on fire, I'm going to be really upset.
The style of movie where it's shot from one person's perspective and they're watching epic events happen and you never see the big monster that's attacking the city or you never really see the aliens.
Like a first Cloverfield style?
Cloverfield style. And I'm a big fan of that, and I think the movie might get a little under attention because of that.
Yeah, probably.
Last movie is The Lion of Judah. Just because it has Ernest Borgnine, he's still alive. I'm a fan.
Oh, really?
He's still kicking?
95 this year.
Oh, man.
Holy crap.
And still acting.
He's obviously still in debt.
Still in debt.
Two thoughts about Battle Los Angeles. One thing I really like is when they do the handheld cameras for like the big action stuff. I liked it during District 9. It just adds a nice little aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And and I just like the fact that worldwide title is World Invasion Battle Los Angeles. So they're always like changing it. But,
well, anyway. I got a question, Dave. I mean, is it going to be like a handycam feel like Firefly did for a lot of things, or is it really going to be like a first-person Blair Witch Cloverfield kind of a thing?
More handycam, less Blair Witch.
Okay, cool. Right on. Which, I mean, I like the first-person stuff if it's done well. It's just, you know, we've only got, maybe three movies out there that you know, even try it. But I do dig the handycam feel of it because, you know, it definitely makes you feel like you're actually in the action and that sort of stuff. But, right on. I just want to clear that up.
And apparently Mike would like 300 if there were more Spartans with handicams.
I guess we'll have to continue that whole conversation with that movie later, man. What can I say? I didn't like it. Any other movie? Any other movies in March? And by the way, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, man, that is like a children's book that kids just love, and I never did see that first movie, but I like that style, man. I like the way the books are done with the little stick figure drawings and all that. It's kind of neat. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to further sell you on The Lion of Judah. Clint Eastwood's son is in that.
The Lion of Judah?
Lion of Judah.
What is the that? The Ernest Borgnine movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally blanked on that. All right, and now we're ready to move into movie news. We have a couple of different things we've been linking to on the different social networks. One thing is that they are doing a Powers TV series and a Wonder Woman TV series. Both of those adaptations should be pretty interesting. The
Powers TV series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Stoked about that one.
Now, I'm trying to recall, if I'm correctly, my comic book days are a little too far behind me for my taste. That was the excellent comic book written from the perspective of a detective trying to uncover murdered superheroes?
Yeah.
Right. Two detectives.
Yeah. It was a man and a woman, and they worked in like a special section of the homicide for superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
And the main male character used to be a superhero, lost all his powers. So he has kind of the inside track a little bit. And but it's some of the dialogue in that book was probably some of my favorite that I've ever read. And that's a Bendis book, right, Mike?
Right, Brian Bendis. And, you know, at first I did like that dialogue style because he would have a lot of interrupting conversations and half sentences and stuff. But he kind of scripts every single comic he does, whether he's writing the Avengers or whatnot like that. So that gets a little old. I actually gave up reading Powers, but I would like to see what FX does with it. That's the channel that'll be doing it. So.
Yeah, that was my only sad point.
I would reverse those two comments, but yeah, definitely interested in that. And with Wonder Woman, my big complaint is that they are kind of turning her into a weepy Ally McBeal.
Yeah.
Someone that can't make a decision without a man doing it for her type of thing.
Yeah, I live with a woman who idolizes the wonder of womans.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to get hit a lot over this.
You're also going to be hoping that the film breaks while you're trying to watch it.
Yeah, I'm probably going to say, wouldn't it be awesome if the TV explodes? But, you know, whatever.
Dude, don't ever wish that on a television.
It's
that's just bad.
The script is online, and I think it ends with her weeping into her pillow.
Oh, God.
And she has three identities because, you know, two identities is not enough. So.
No way not enough. You got to – really? I mean, there's Peter, there's Spider-Man, and there's emo Peter. I mean, they gotta keep up.
And then they also have cast the new Superman, which I believe will be out late in 2012. And it is – what's the name again, Jess?
Henry Cavill, if I'm saying that properly. C-A-V-I-L-L.
I've never seen him in anything, but it's – I mean, he's a fit-looking dude. You know, I'm sure
not
that –
not Brandon Routh.
Yes.
So –
and I'm sure he can hide his British accent just fine, like every other British actor. So.
Let me just go on record real quick about Brandon Routh. Now, I got to say, I didn't see him as a Superman. He looked like a Superboy. He seemed smaller. That could have been the suit, honestly. But I do want to go on record saying I don't hate the guy because it was a good choice to I don't want to say replace. That's kind of strong. But to put in the same role as Christopher Reeve, he sounded like him. He looked a lot like him. He acted a lot like him. They were trying to continue from Superman 2, so they went with Brandon Routh. That seemed pretty logical. It was the Lois Lane that I didn't understand. What was her name? Someone.
Dumb Bosworth.
Bosworth. That was horrible. Anyway,
she's bad.
Brandon Routh and like Zach and Miri, hilarious. So big fan.
Yeah, he was hilarious in Zach and Miri.
Well, it looks like they might still be considering Superman 2 in the way they're doing the movie because they're possibly going to have General Zod and it's possibly going to be Viggo Mortensen.
Yes.
That will rock.
I really like him. I've seen him in a couple movies where he's like a gangster and stuff. He's pretty awesome.
What's crazy is the picture they actually have up for that. I can just imagine a little goatee on him and he looks just like the dude. So I'm actually pretty excited.
Yeah.
Well, the first role I ever saw him in was as Satan. I mean, if he can play Satan, he can play General Zod.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that's on the Facebook or the Square Peg Facebook show is they've apparently making a vampire. I'm sorry, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter movie, and they have a cast. They have a main character.
What?
For that. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I must look at this right now.
I'm looking.
I believe it should have as Abraham Lincoln, the one and only unknown, the one and only taken. You know who I'm talking about.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Yes.
He would be an excellent and horrible at the same time, Abraham Lincoln.
I just want like John Wilkes Booth to be like a swamp monster or something.
Yes. Well, his name is Benjamin Walker. That's the guy that they've cast as the title role for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Apparently directed by Timur Bekmambetov.
Oh, okay.
Can someone say that for me?
I don't know.
Anyway, he did Wanted, apparently. I don't know. Apparently, Tim Burton's supposed to co-produce, so, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Well, I like how they got the author wrote the screenplay.
Oh, yeah, cool. That's actually quite rare, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually
the writer just, like, hangs around on the set somewhere if they're invited.
Yeah. It's like Stan Lee is really the executive producer. He just sits back there and has sex with all the hookers, so.
Oh, God. All right then.
Why, Stanley? The other thing that I wanted to throw out there real fast is there's a dude named Javier Bardem who was apparently offered the lead role of the Dark Tower series that they're looking to do.
He's the guy that kills people with staple guns in No Country for Old Men. Oh, not staple guns, but some sort of like awesomeness.
Huh. Okay.
Well, no. What my point is, it doesn't matter if he's in Eat, Pray, Love. With Julia Roberts, he's always this killer to me, like the guy that kills people. But.
Oh, right on. Well, he's supposed to be playing this, like, otherworldly gunslinger guy. I mean, I don't want to make that sound weird. He's not like an alien, but like a different dimension sort of thing.
This is for the Stephen King thing?
Stephen King, Dark Tower. And apparently from what they're saying, it's like a cross-platform, multi-part film and television adaptation. So,
whoa. That bodes, what does that mean? That does not bode well.
No,
I think Stephen King just got $10 million from that sentence.
But. Probably.
That makes me worried. I can only imagine like a movie coming out, and then you have to watch the miniseries, and then you have to read the newspaper articles. And I would do it because I did enjoy the Dark Tower series, but I would not think other people would do it. So I think it's going to have a lot of trouble if it tries to be too extreme with the media usage.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've actually seen that done yet. That I can recall, other than like Firefly, that was kind of done out of necessity. But I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of excited to see it. I wouldn't mind checking it out, see what it's all about.
Cool. Yeah,
so. I can dig it.
And we also put up a link on the fan page and maybe the Twitter page of the next trailer for Source Code, which is the new Duncan Jones movie, director of Moon, and it's about this guy that has to keep traveling backwards in time, 8 minutes at a time, to stop a bomb on a train. It looks super cool. So, looking forward to that.
Eight minutes at a time.
Yeah, he only has 8 minutes during each time travel trip, I think. So.
Sounds kind of like Memento or something.
Well,
I mean, not exactly, but I mean, it sounds like they're using some sort of like movie novelty like that. It sounds awesome. I'm actually pretty interested.
Other movie news. Anybody got anything?
I do want to put up something about the new Amazing Spider-Man that's coming out.
Yeah.
Is it amazing?
It actually is. I mean, and now I'm a stickler. I'm a big stickler for. You know, the source material, as you guys probably know, and the suit is definitely changed a bit. But I mean, even though there's some of it I'm not a big fan of, it looks amazing, literally. I mean, it really looks good. So if you guys haven't seen that, check that out because it's just I just keep looking at it. I can't stop looking at it.
Yeah, and that is the official title now, right? The Amazing Spider-Man,
and with Garfield. What's his first name?
Andrew
Garfield. Yeah.
Yes.
With mechanical web shooters.
He does have mechanical web shooters.
You can actually see him in the picture, and they're awesome.
Awesome.
One more thing I really want to mention is that there was a sad passing last week. Dwayne McDuffie died. He died at 49 from complications of surgery, and he was a big name comic book writer and animation writer. If you've ever enjoyed like Justice League Unlimited or a lot of the direct-to-video DC movies, man. I just kind of wanted to start checking out some of his other work. He has one called Damage Control, which is about this construction company that goes around the Marvel Universe cleaning up all the messes that villains and heroes make.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And there's like this cover where he's holding up this bill to Dr. Doom. It says, "You'll pay for this." And so I want to read that. And
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So I'll put up a link that's a bit of a tribute to all the stuff he did.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Big fan of the Justice League Unlimited stuff. Huge, huge fan of that stuff. So, yeah, I'm all about it. I'll definitely check out some of his stuff.
Oh, and also his reputation of talking to fans online and in person for hours whether or not they were crazy fans or not. He was very.
That takes some balls, no doubt.
Yeah, he was very patient. So.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Well, that's sad news.
Yeah. Any other news before we move on to the big review?
That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Well, our big review this time is Primer, which is a film that came out in 2004 with a budget, shockingly, of $9,000.
Really? I actually saw a figure, several figures of $7,000, even less.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I didn't even know you could make a movie for that amount. Yeah. So
when you look at the credits, it's not very long, man. It's like yeah. 17 people tops.
Yeah, I jotted down something about that. Let me say this real quick. Shane Carruth wrote it, directed it, produced it, did the music, casting, production design, sound, all the sound editing, and starred in it as Aaron, the main guy. One guy did all that. So yeah.
That's some damn dedication for a vision. Yeah.
No kidding.
So I guess we should run it down and get into our thoughts on it.
It pretty much starts out with four individuals who not only work full-time jobs and, you know, engineering kind of things or software stuff, but they also kind of have come together to make their own small company out of one guy, Aaron's garage. Now, they're definitely tech geeks. They build computer cards and stuff like that, and they're kind of trying to establish themselves as their own business. And from what the film is very special, if that's a decent word to use, is that it doesn't really tell the viewer much of anything. Most of everything is implied.
Very little exposition.
Very, very little, and most of it is you feel like you've just stepped into the middle of a conversation,
right?
And have stepped out before it actually ends. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of talking over one another. Even though it does feel like pretty natural conversations going on, it's still kind of rough to get into because just to hear one person over another person is rough. But
sure. Plus, not to interrupt the rundown, but I do not have much of a mind for science.
Yeah.
So the first 20 or 30 minutes is science jargon.
Yeah.
But
what I was getting to was from that is it seems that from what you can gather,
yeah,
each person after so long gets to put forth a project they'd like to do. Turns out two of the guys wants to do one thing, two of the guys wants to do another thing. Two of them are our main characters. The other two guys just kind of disappear after a while they're implied that they're around, but you never hardly see them. But our main two characters eventually start to build a machine. They don't know what it does. The more they mess with it, the more they build it, the more they tweak it. It turns out to be a time machine.
Right.
That is, as far as I've ever seen, probably the most realistic explanation of the way time travel could possibly work.
Sure.
And then all of the timelines that creates and all of the problems that come from that, and as well as all the responsibility and power that comes along with using a time travel machine.
These two characters, Aaron and Abe, they start off with a small box for the time machine. Then they build it to kind of a coffin size, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you think, Mike?
I'm digesting it. My mind is boggled. I liked it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It was good. It was well written. It's sophisticated. It's going to require me watching it again every year for the rest of my life.
Probably.
See, I would say sophisticated is a good word for it, and especially following it with that comment that you have to watch it at least 1,000 more times.
I do want to go ahead and quickly throw out a quick shout out to Duke, who's out there. I'm sure he's listening. He's the one that showed me this film. And at first, of course, just like anyone that ever sees it for the first time is like, what the fuck just happened? And the best way to watch it, guys, seriously, is to find someone who's seen it before that has seen it enough times to understand it. I mean, at least most of it. I mean, I've seen it 1,000 times and I've still yet to get everything. Mm-hmm. But it's so much better when you go back and watch it the second time and you can just pause it through the movie and ask questions. Because things really, really start to make more sense. There's also
preferably questions to Duke or somebody that really, really understands
it. And there's graphical representations of the timelines and the things that happen throughout them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and you need that. You need that for this movie because there eventually ends up being, what, 9 timelines in all?
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why we have set up an email, duke@dukemail.com, for any users who want to email him with questions.
What the hell is primer@dukemail.com?
About about 40 minutes into it, I did go to the Wikipedia page and I looked at this graphic that really helped me understand a little bit of it, because it's this shape that actually is kind of in the shape of a lowercase e. The timeline goes around. One person gets into the box. That person has to get out of the box, run away so that the duplicate isn't seen. This is how complicated it gets, okay? You probably already lost all your interest, or you're really, really interested right now. Then that person goes into this waiting period of subjective time, gets out of the box, and goes and creates a new timeline, and then, I don't know, what? Like, fades into the – what happens to the first – see, I've already got too many questions.
Well, it's – I don't know. It's when you know, the thing about the time machine is it's not like the DeLorean where you hit 88 and you burst into flames and then you're instantly back in time. Yeah. The way they go about it is much more realistic. I mean, if we can use that in term in a time travel movie.
Sure.
But, you know, you set the machine at 9 o'clock in the morning and you leave for 3 hours. And when you come back 3 hours later, it's noon. You get in the time machine for 3 hours. And when you come out, you're 9 o'clock again. Mm-hmm. So it's however long you're in the box is how long you go back. So it's like one for one time. It's like as when you're outside the box, time is moving forward like we've all experienced it. But when you're in the box, it's actually going backwards, you know, at the same rate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it gets really confusing because they use that particular – they use this characteristic of, you know, real time going backwards throughout the movie to, you know, even when you're watching it for the first time, it's really things have already happened and a lot of stuff that's implied.
Right. And there is so much implied in the third act. I kind of just wanted to talk about it because it's much simpler to me. I get confused with two timelines, let alone nine or what, however many. But from a character or story point of view, there was a lot to really enjoy. These two characters, Aaron and Abe, they are geniuses when it comes to this. But then their big plan in the second act is, you know, let's predict or let's find out what the stock market
does. It's all about money, which I think if all of us had access to a time machine, that's the first damn thing I would do. I don't know about you guys. And, you know, they went the stock market route, which, you know, they reference, you know, betting on March Madness. They reference winning the lottery, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I that's the first thing I damn do. I guarantee it.
But by the third act, they decided to go much farther than stock market and do some stuff they'd really been meaning to get to. And that is the point where it gets super confusing because, like Jesse was saying, it involves stuff that's already happening.
Without the viewer's realization that it has been happening, everything that they've seen so far.
Yes, and that's the point where you get online and try to figure it out.
Yeah, they get into this situation where an ex-boyfriend shows up at a house party and with a shotgun in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes like the main point in the third act to, you know, prevent this from happening. And what I was sitting around trying to figure out is, you know, the quote-unquote first time through, something horrible must have happened. Either the girlfriend got shot or something along these lines. It's from everything I've read online, it's kind of up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like in the movie they were saying that he'd never fired. So I kept thinking to myself, what was the point of going back and stopping it?
I don't understand the gun stuff at all.
Well, but, wasn't there something about that? Her name was Rachel Granger.
Right.
And wasn't her father someone that could get them into a lot of money?
Yeah. Now, that's what I was thinking. And to do that and to, you know, try and get in favor with him. But they already had the time machine. They were already making buku bucks on the stock market. What was the point of impressing him?
If Abe had never invited Aaron into this, Abe played it safe. He stayed in one room and he turned off the TV and the phone.
Right.
Aaron's using a cell phone. Then they got to figure out, well, wait, is my double going to pick up this phone call before I do?
And he actually says, it was probably one of my favorite lines. It's like, I think we broke symmetry. And I'm like, yeah, then the fucking universe ends, but, you know, whatever.
My favorite line is, are you guys hungry? I haven't eaten since later this afternoon.
Yeah. I think another one was, I got to get used to these 36-hour days.
So,
but yeah, as far as the whole reverse engineering of this moment in the party with the shotgun, it got really weird. Right. And then even toward the end, like at the very, very last scene almost, in the airport, where it suddenly comes out that Abe is like has always wanted Aaron's family or something like this, because he actually references,
yeah,
the machine doesn't go back far enough, does it? And he said, you can put, you know, the wife and the kid in a box, and then you can have a set, and Aaron can have a set. And
that is so interesting, because they were talking about a box inside of a box, weren't they?
Right, yeah.
Man.
And what I mean that just kind of felt like out of left field personally. I mean, it adds another like level to it, which is awesome, because again, he can almost do anything. He can always be like, yeah, of course Barney the dinosaur's been here. I mean, it's been happening this whole time and you never knew it. But, you know, it just seemed like out of left field a little bit.
If they had had some more establishing stuff in the beginning, that would have been better.
But then again, maybe that was the point. I mean, there was so much that wasn't established that made this movie great in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much was implied, and it allows you to theorize on a lot of stuff. And if his goal was to have people watch his movie several times, he has succeeded.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've watched this flick. So
I think he needs to go help out Mark Borchardt and let him finish Northwestern. But
well, actually, to bring up something real quick, Shane Carruth, is that
yeah,
he's actually working on a movie called Looper that's coming out with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis and Emily Blunt, who you referenced earlier.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's actually a time travel movie. From what I understand, it's something along the lines of a hitman ends up traveling back in time, and his target ends up being himself.
I'm glad he's still doing time travel.
Yeah, so it's something like that, but it's Rian Johnson who is actually doing the script, and mm-hmm. Shane Carruth was like kind of working along with him for that. I think they said something about him doing some effects.
Great.
Of some kind. So I'm pretty stoked about that. I'd love to see his stuff. But all in all, Mike, I mean, just good movie, bad movie, shitty movie?
Good movie. And I think after the third or fourth few, I'm not trying to exaggerate. I'm interested in seeing this many more times.
Yeah.
I think it'll get up there to great movie once I understand it. So.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, apparently it's already started its own new canon of movies where people will – it's falling into the low-budget movie range and – the complexity of idea is what's selling the piece and the artistry of the piece rather than how much funding they can put into it.
Absolutely.
And I think when, let's say like 50 years from now, people go back and they look at the major trends in the movies at the last, the turn of the decade, this is going to be one of those movies they go back to.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so.
It's a good point. When I first heard about it and was being told it's so great, I was worried about two things. One, it was too low budget to be good, which is just snobby, I guess. But, two, I was like, okay, with six timelines, is it going to be fun or is it going to be, wow, look how smart I am, you know?
Right.
And I think it was fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun you wake up the next day and you go, God, I'm never doing that again. Give me some aspirin. And then you're doing it again next Sunday.
Yeah. I would definitely give it at least, I would definitely give it 5 out of 5 dead baby birds in the attic. So that was huge, huge fan. And really one of the biggest selling points to me.
That just clicked for me. Okay.
But one of the things that really clicked for me was how low budget it was, but yet he was able to do so, so much with just the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I mean, for me, and I'm sure you guys too, who's ever wanted to create something on film, that's a huge boost for me, because I really hope that I'd be able to write something like that, but it at least inspires me to get out there and try something.
Yeah. Okay, so Matt's been silent through this because he's watching Natalie Portman, and also because he had like a mishap trying to get the movie for in time for review.
Yeah,
but
ask a question to Matt.
Sure.
I was wondering, given this discussion and given that there's some people out in the audience listening to this podcast who haven't seen the movie, would you be interested in seeing it? I mean, I know you're already interested because you're going to see it and everything, but I mean, does that sound like the kind of movie you'd want to see?
That movie sounds fucked up, and I got to give it at least one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that you really have to see it. And honestly, just from me talking about it to people, they just say, I'll never watch this movie ever.
Right.
But guys out there, please, if you have not seen this, Duke recommends it. That means you have to watch it.
Our two Dukes. Duke.
That is true.
I'll put up the spoiler warning, too, for the third act stuff, but yeah, speaking of Duke, our friend Duke has a new song up on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's called World 9-1. It's inspired by Mario Brothers and
the 25th anniversary, actually.
Yeah, and Dee's love of Zac Efron. So please listen to it. It is hilarious.
Listen to it, download it, put it on your iPod, chew it. It's delicious.
done. So kind of watching while you guys were doing that, I've been watching a little bit of the Oscars.
Sure.
They've got Gwyneth Paltrow singing.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, apparently she's got an original song, I think, that was being nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, Country Strong. But plus, if you watch Glee, you would understand she's a good singer.
So let me reiterate. Glee. Let me reiterate. You like Glee and hate 300.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm putting in our friendship resignation right now. You've crossed the line, my friend.
Come to Jesus meeting happening soon.
Whatever. Watch 300 and talk about how manly you are. Bunch of man junk.
But no, what happens if like the cast of 300 were singing in a Glee club? Would he like it then?
Yes. With spears.
I don't need to defend this shit, man.
We've heard that this is Sparta remixes. I can only imagine it goes from there into a Glee club version of that.
Dude, if you pays his face all over all of the Glee people, I'll watch it. With that screaming expression on, oh my god.
Duke, get on it.
You ready for this? Go.
You ready for listener mail?
I'm ready. Okay. For listener mail. Hit me.
From our email account, Christopher writes, any chance of doing the podcast as a video podcast as well? Now, if you'd asked us that a couple months ago, we would have said no. But do you want to tease anything, Jess, or just wait?
Well, I mean, it's definitely something that I think is in the books somewhere.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, we may have some videos coming up for some things, probably not the show itself yet.
Right.
But
supplementary.
Definitely supplementary for now, but hopefully down the line at some point, yes, we would love to do video. I would love to do video. Once I have the hardware to do it, then, you know, there's nothing stopping us then. We will rule your worlds.
And timelines.
And timelines.
Responding to last month's episode, ZebNef1 writes, I am Jesse's brother, and yes, I do love the Green Hornet's car, Black Beauty, which, by the way, is a 1966 Chrysler Imperial. So if you know anyone who has one, I will pistol whip them into submission and say, just give it to me free of charge. And then he has a disclaimer about how he would not actually do that.
No, you got
to
read it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I would not actually pistol whip anyone into submission, but maybe until they cried, and maybe cried some more. And then the only thing that would make the crying stop was giving me that car. So there you go.
Thank you, ZebNef. That is the best thing ever.
Yeah. I don't know what to say to that, but I like it.
You know what? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to respond with a picture of the 1966 Chrysler Imperial just for him.
Right.
Well, that does bring up an interesting question to the listeners out there. What kind of vehicle would you make the official vehicle of the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
What is the square peg vehicle?
What is the square peg car? Tell us. You know what? I got another question. There's plenty of movies and television shows out there with like that center around the car. I mean, fuck Michael Knight. Kit was the star. What were your favorite?
Drive Angry?
Of those? Yeah.
Drive Angry, man.
Yeah. Dude, yes.
And no one busses the Hoff's car.
And I'd like to hear your favorite one of those, but especially what car would you give us to the podcast? What car defines the square peg show for you?
Flintstones one with the square wheels, yeah.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Any other listener mail?
I think that's all we got.
Any other things to cover before we end the show?
Not that I know of. We got Razzies, we got Oscars, we got
Yes. Birds. Okay, well, any recommendations about any type of media that you've been enjoying last month?
I've got a recommendation I'd make.
Sure.
Not sure if people are comic fans that listen to this podcast. I would hope so, since that's often what we talk about. Mm-hmm. But I'd suggest everyone go out and pick up a copy of The Best American Comics 2010, edited by Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
This is a collection of work that spans all types of genre that is simply graphic representations of stories. So it might range from everything from your superhero based comic book, but also to something more along the lines of Blankets and Mouse. So I go pick that back up and read through it and see, you might find some things you like in there. Just a good way of familiarizing yourself with what's going on in the comic world.
Awesome. I loved Blankets. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I trust him a lot. Sometimes a good writer recommends something that I hate, but I think Neil Gaiman has the chops for being a good editor. Anybody else? Okay.
I've been reading a book off and on called Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs.
Really? I've honestly been wanting to read that. How is it?
It is an amazing book. It's written by a guy named Chuck Klosterman. He's got another book like How to Eat the Dinosaur and some other stuff. It's pretty much just like rant and rave on pop culture type stuff. The first chapter of the book is him just ranting about Billy Joel and his either awesomeness or just
or his Romeo and Julietness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit, never mind. I was mixing up Elton John with Billy Joel. Jeez. All right. Now you should be mad at me.
Yes. You are fired.
I'm fired
and
for the podcast.
I read a chapter just recently about his blasting soccer and how it's supposed to be the sport of the future. And yeah. It'll never ever.
It's football, okay?
Yeah.
Get it straight.
I like the soccer hooligans much more than soccer games.
Yeah, true. True that.
Okay. Well, I've been following Justified on FX, starring Timothy Olyphant. It's a Southern fried kind of detective show. It's a lot of fun seeing all these him go after like meth heads and Oxycontin addicts and rednecks and good stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I think I need to watch Justified at the same time that I watch Breaking Bad.
Awesome, yeah. You'll get both sides of the South there.
I may as well go ahead and throw this one in there then, if we're doing television shows too. But not that many of the listeners out there need to know about it, but have you guys caught any Big Bang Theory?
Not yet.
No?
I have not.
It's one of those things that if you're a nerd, I mean, you'll probably like this a lot. I mean, it's one of those things. It's not a deep-thinking show by any means. It's definitely a comedy. It's definitely a sitcom. But it's like if you get a little smile off of someone mentioning something that you were into, like comic related or game related or something like that, you'll like it. It's like one of those great background things, and they say, they said Superman, awesome. So you know, it's one of those. But it's definitely it gets a little clever here and there. So definitely check that out.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Matt and Dave, for joining us.
Welcome.
No problem.
And thank you, Mike.
Oh well, thanks, man. I'll try not to disappoint you next time.
And thank you, adoring listener.
Meeting is gonna happen.
And Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find us. But thanks for listening, everybody.
Hey guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.